Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Unmatched Style chat session. I'm here with the creators of InVision app. If you haven't heard of this app yet, you should go check it out. It is an application that lets you create, like, mock-up prototypes on the fly, and I quite enjoy it. We've got Clark Wahlberg, Ben Nadell, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, and Ryan Jeffords here to tell us why it's awesome. So, hey, guys.
Howdy. Hey there.
So, tell me, why did you guys make InVision in the first place?
Oh, boy. Okay. So, you know, so we run a consulting company. We develop web applications for our clients. And we've just kind of been, ever since we really got into the business, been firm believers in the idea of prototyping. You know, showing our clients something. You know, I have a good friend of mine, Hal Helms, who kind of got us into prototyping in the first place, who used to use a phrase, or a famous quote of his, which is, people usually get clients involved at two points in a project. When it's too early for them to really have anything important to say, okay? And when it's too late for you to do anything about it. Right. So, you know, that usually represents, you know, getting clients involved, like, you know, before, while you're writing a contract or right after you write a contract and do some sort of a kickoff, when there's nothing for them to really see or like sink their teeth into, or too late, you know, when you've already done the development and the product is ready to be launched. And then just before you hit the upload button, somebody says, hey, you know, it would be nice, you know, or, you know, so we tried to figure out a way that we could easily mitigate these problems without adding a lot of friction on our side. So we began with the simple principle that whatever prototype we created had to fully represent the finished product. You know, we couldn't just do a sketch because clients couldn't really get their head around a sketch. And I remember the old days when people used to show clients UML diagrams or, you know, like, you know, different kinds of, you know, kind of little imagery, you know, kind of represents the structure of a site, like a site map or something like that. And I think that you can probably get in a room of five clients, you know, half of a person who can have something meaningful to say at that point. But, you know, that really wasn't a way to engage people.
Right.
So we started with the basic premise that it needed to look exactly like the finished product. It needed to feel like the finished product, so it had to be interactive, right? And it had to be in the context of the finished product. In other words, it had to be in a browser, okay? You know, you couldn't show them a Photoshop mock-up. That excluded that, right? You couldn't just show them, you know, a printout. You know, the old days of, like, you know, advertising or the early days of the web, people used to, like, print out the homepage and, like, paste it on a piece of board and, like, bring it into a meeting, you know? You know, what was the name of the guy from Mad Men, you know? So you know, that was also – I mean, you could do that with logo design. But, you know, essentially, you know, a piece of software, web application or website, I mean, it's all – it's an experience, right? And it can't be taken out of its experiential context. So it needed to be in the browser.
Right.
So we first started – by building HTML, CSS, and JavaScript prototypes. And, you know, when I first teamed up with Ben and we started a company that we run called Epicenter, and this is like now 4 years ago, Ben, you know, was, you know, very early with the JavaScript technology, very early with jQuery, and, you know, a master at CSS and HTML, so you could really fly at this stuff. And, you know, so we'd be building prototypes and we'd have these massive, you know, 100-screen web applications and, you know, meeting with clients and working on the product. Then we realized that as the technology was becoming more complicated, in other words, people's the sophistication of the software really moved from the back end to the front end. So all the code that was complicated and was the reason that you kind of wanted to do prototyping in the first place to kind of avoid it early on ended up moving to the client. So now, you know, Ben was writing, you know, intensely, you know, complicated JavaScript, so we really weren't getting the benefits from prototyping anymore. So one day, you know, we were sitting around trying to figure out, you know, how can we fix this problem? You know, how do we make things that, you know, apply to all of our tenants, but at the same time, you know, was agile that we could work with? So I think he had this idea. We're sitting around. He says, hey, why don't we just take our stuff from Fireworks, and we happen to use Fireworks, you know, for our design work. And why don't we just, like, link it together like an image map and put it in a browser and show that to the client? And, of course, like, you know, any great futurist, I said, well, that's just a terrible idea. That will never work. I said, you know, the latency, and it's going to be, you know, like you're clicking and waiting. And I said, that totally doesn't apply to the most important tenet, which is that it must feel like the finished product, okay? Even when it's a little lower fidelity visually, it still needs to feel like the finished product, right? So this doesn't help us, right? And so Ben said, well, hold on a second. Don't be so hasty, right? So, you know, a fateful moment, right, where, you know, I shut up long enough to actually let somebody say something important. And he went and did it. He actually wrote a very rudimentary, you know, JavaScript application where you could drop in images and it would upload them, and then he could kind of like just create hotspots, you know, in certain areas. And then he built this caching system where it would download the images to the person's browser when you're in share mode so that you can see things and the latency is removed entirely. So I was blown away. And I said, well, you know, my next great business call was, we must never let this get out. this is really brilliant. This is like, it totally revolutionized our process with our clients. I mean, we took, I think the first big breakthrough we had in terms of just kind of looking at the metrics is that we took screens from taking us usually about 2 or 3 days to really produce a screen in HTML and JavaScript, pretty complex screens, right? And obviously it's iterations, down to like a couple hours. Wow. So we were pumping out entire applications in like 50 hours of prototyping time, as opposed to like, you know, 100. I mean, literally, I think I remember a project, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, that the prototyping phase alone took like 500 hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So big projects.
So this all started because you had a need internally. And did you build like a small scale product for yourselves that you used?
Oh yeah, totally. So we, you know, it was very, you know, unadorned and very, you know, kind of bare bones, but we built this thing internally and we, you know, like guarded it with our lives. You know, we wouldn't let any of our contractors see it, and we wouldn't let any of our, you know, like we were just like very close, tight-lipped about it, because we thought, you know, once other consulting companies find out that you can build prototypes this fast, you know, we believe so strongly in prototyping, obviously, just like anybody, you know, maybe it's a little self-aggrandizing, but we thought, like, everybody in the world is going to do this and we're going to lose our competitive edge. So another guy that we work with, Shloime, said, you know what, you guys really should be making some money on this thing. You should turn it into a commercial product, and, you know, other people use it. And I said, you know, competitive edge, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, maybe you can make more money by sharing the idea, plus someday somebody's going to come up with something that does something like this and you're going to be kicking yourself. So we said, okay. So we took a little bit of the leap, and I said, let's just polish this thing enough to get it out there. You know, as they say in the world of Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Months and months later, okay, developing this thing and refining it and making it look good and making it you know, work good and working out the million kinks that we never really had as people using it ourselves on our own network. You know, but putting it out into the cloud, we finally landed at a product called Envision. And, you know, we still use it at our consulting practice.
Okay.
I mean, we don't really do anything without it. I mean, we don't design, like, you know, whatever, a modal window without doing it in Envision. Because, you know, we just believe so strongly in, you know, kind of having a collaborative design approach and a visual approach to software design. And, you know, so far about, you know, 9,000 people have signed up to use the product.
That's awesome.
And, you know, some major, you know, Fortune, I guess, 500 brands have started using the product. And we get a lot of cool feedback every day. And so we're, you know, excited about where it's going.
Wow. So what are the roles here? So we have Ben and Ryan and Clark. What are you guys' roles in this whole company? In Vision, if you want to call it a company.
So I'm like kind of the general service, customer service, you know, helping to design new features and kind of pushing things along guy. So I guess you could say I'm more on the business end of things. Ben is my business partner here at Epicenter. And so Envision is a product of Epicenter. And Ben's role is he kind of works on the more complex new features that require just a lot of JavaScript. That happens to be, you know, his forte.
Right.
And also he works with me to like design and prototype new features and kind of the general strategic direction of the product. And Ryan is the lead developer of the product.
Okay.
And we have a couple other people who work on the product also, who just happen not to be on the call, but, you know, designers and UX people and whatnot.
Right.
So Brian really is in charge of, you know, day-to-day, you know, evolving the product and, you know, fixing problems with the product or making enhancements to the product and, you know, making things actually work and making them awesome.
Well, we happen to watch a lot of web apps, lots of startup type situations here through Unmet Style, and we've gotten to know some people over the years, and, you know, like I said, we like to watch them. Take me through your launch, like, whenever you decided to make this an app for sale, you know, to people to buy accounts and use to, say, today. Like, what kind of strategies have you used to get it out there in front of people?
Oh, boy. So probably the first big boom we had in terms of signups was when we got listed on something called – what is that thing called? Startup list. What's that thing called, Ben?
Beta list.
Yeah, beta list. Okay, so beta list is like, you know, an email that goes out to you know, whatever, 1,000 more people with kind of the newest betas that are out there. And so we put up like a landing page, a coming soon page. We may have done like a quick video of the product, and we said, you know, hey, this is the next big breakthrough in prototyping. You definitely want to know about this. And so prototyping, I have to say, it was at the right time, at the right place kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This prototyping was a very hot topic, and probably, you know, just not having a product and being secretive about it and, you know, saying, hey, put your email address in here and you're going to find out about the coolest thing since whatever, you know, definitely gave it a lot of buzz.
Right.
And, you know, Twitter kind of exploded. And Ben himself runs a blog at bennadel.com where mm-hmm. he talks about JavaScript and different technologies. He has like, you know, 10,000 or 15,000 people every day come to his site. So definitely like his fans kind of like latched onto it early, and they started tweeting, and then this whole kind of viral network of tweeting and retweeting. So we ended up getting just a ton, you know, maybe more than a couple thousand, 2,000, something like that, early like beta requests.
Wow.
Okay. So that was pretty awesome. So when we launched, we just first started by hitting up that list and, you know, emailing those people out. And of course, you know, we put a lot of the principles that we use with our clients, you know, in terms of, you know, A/B testing emails and, you know, figuring out the best way to convert people from, you know, that level of interest to the next level of interest and actually getting them to sign up for a trial account. And we played with our pricing model a little bit in terms of, you know, whether we're going to do a free trial with a credit card, a free trial with no credit card, and, you know, through kind of like A, B, C, and D, you know, kind of chain testing, we ended up with the idea that, you know, what works for us, we feel, is a 30-day trial with no credit card required. Get in there, try it out, use it, and then, you know, people tend to take to that. And we built early on, one of the things that we did I thought was a little unique, we built a really like highly designed dashboard so that we could watch the usage of the system. Like, we don't actually look at anybody's work because like that's not visible to us, right?
Right.
But we can like see people, like we have a map with people like logging in and stuff like that, so we can see how many people are concurrently logged in. We can see what day of the trial that they're on. And so we've kind of just intuited in some senses, some rational and some just, you know, kind of emotional, just kind of guesswork.
Right.
What works and what doesn't work by just watching that data. And then we, you know, have set up some strategic points of contact, you know, contacting the person after they haven't uploaded anything for 48 hours and contacting people, you know, after they, you know, have used the system and they're just about to expire, that kind of stuff. So
right.
We're constantly playing with conversions.
That's awesome.
And we've got some good press. I mean, we were on TechCrunch, did a piece on us. So that, you know, obviously brought a nice amount of traffic.
That has to help. So what was the traffic like from TechCrunch compared to your self-generated traffic, so to speak, from your splash page?
You know, it's funny.
Engagement.
You get a lot of traffic from TechCrunch. Like, when you're a story, you get a lot of traffic. You don't necessarily get a real lot of signups. Because, you know, again, that's the general tech audience, not necessarily our very specific niche.
Right.
You know, our product is definitely focused on designers. You know, in order to use InVision, you have to be using Photoshop or Fireworks or Illustrator or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets you take your designs and bring them to life.
Right.
But if you if you're just like interested in tinkering around with a tool, it's not so easy to just jump in there and just start playing around like you can with maybe other tools that are just download tools.
Gotcha.
Right, so we get a lot of traffic. We got a lot of traffic. We didn't get a heck of a lot of signups, and we definitely, I would say, as far as subscriptions, we got some. It's obviously good for Google.
Right.
You know, when people go out there and they search for prototyping, whatever,
right.
Having a story on TechCrunch is a good lead through for the people who are actually interested. But being a story doesn't necessarily bring us a ton of stuff.
Well, you know, I featured the InVision website a couple weeks ago because I like the design of it. So props to whoever the lead designer on that was.
Cool. That's Jake.
Awesome. Yeah. Specifically, I like the sign up experience going through your site. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, if this was on purpose or whatever it was, but on your, the actual sign up form itself, you're sort of doing this like almost mode window and you're kind of showing the app itself kind of like in a grayed out background.
Right. That's a conversion. That is extremely intentional. That is definitely a covert conversion science, design pattern that we invented here.
Okay. So you guys sort of thought that up and went on to it.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it does, from what we can tell, you know, in terms of numbers, it does work for obvious reasons, you know, because you begin to see something and the idea that you're already completing a process that you actually haven't started yet,
right?
You know, gives a little bit of psychological momentum.
That's awesome. I've not seen that before, and I want to give you a good 5-star review for
your thank you very much.
So, the huge pats on the back to whoever that was.
Cool.
So what's next for Envision? What are you guys coming up with next?
So this is probably going to release maybe either before this is launched or shortly after, but probably our biggest feature release to date. Is something called present mode. So one of the big problems that designers face in presenting their work, you know, this I would include also just static, you know, single page, look, this is what your homepage looks like, right? You know, kind of stuff, is that it's very difficult to do any kind of interactive and active kind of presentation to a client if you're not in person. So if you're online, okay, your choices are very limited. If you use like a GoToMeeting or, you know, whatever, WebEx or that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Typically, designers have a much bigger screen than their audience, you know, because they're designers. They have like, you know, the 75-inch Macs or whatever they have, right? Or multiple screens or whatever. And the clients usually have very business-appropriate, you know, screen sizes. When you use these screen sharing tools, everything gets scaled down, right? And so, you know, if I'm on a humongous monitor and you're on a small monitor, like everything looks super tiny to you, right? So it's very difficult for me to show you a design in full fidelity and have you really get a feel for it. And what's more, if you actually want to interact with it, in other words, I want you to click around with it or whatever, there's no real effective way of doing that. And it breaks our principles. It's not in the best fidelity. It's not in the browser. So it's not in the right context. It's not in the person's browser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, whatever, just generally clumsy way to do things. So the only alternative people have right now is they can take the design and they can embed it into HTML and upload an FTP and whatever. So that's cumbersome, and it doesn't lead for quick interaction. So what Envision Preview will let you do is you can create a meeting, basically, with one click, and you get a short URL. You can send that URL to as many people as you like. And so you have an active session, and they kind of like join this room, okay, where your prototype is. And you can see their faces kind of pop up on the right-hand side, kind of like, you know, you'd expect from a meeting, right? And they're in their browser, so they have no special downloads, absolutely no download, no installation, nothing, okay? They see your prototype, and you can click around, and you can move your mouse, and when you move your mouse, they see the mouse moving around on the screen. And you can get on the phone with, like, you know, 5 clients. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, at Epicenter, we have clients who have, you know, 7, 8, 10 different people who are on the design team, different levels of a company. And we can get them all into a meeting on the phone, in their browser, and we can show them the product and actually let them interact with it and leave comments in real time. And, you know, I can't think of any other tool that lets you do it that seamlessly.
No, I can't either. That's awesome, man. Can't wait to use that.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, I think Ben's developing this, and so this will be done, you know, by the time the call is done, do you think, Ben?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
He's got one keystroke left.
Yeah.
Uploading those files.
Oh, that's a huge feature. How do you guys manage approaching a huge feature like that?
Oh, boy. You know, probably not as, you know, well orchestrated as we would if it was client work, you know?
Sure.
Because, you know, this is like a side business, for lack of a better way to put it, for us. We start by prototyping, obviously, and it's funny to like have to look at a prototype of Envision inside of Envision.
That's kind
of
weird.
You know, it's definitely like, you know, like the mirror kind of effect.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we do that and we, you know, try to get as many people involved in the conversation as possible and, you know, kind of iterate through the prototype and try to, you know, get as many cynical voices in the call and like, oh, this is not going to be possible because of this or whatever. So between my, you know, completely, you know, cavalier attitude towards features where, you know, I just pretend anything's possible and like it's not gonna be a big deal, you know?
Right.
And between Ben's more kind of like, you know, cautious approach, you know, and Ryan's kind of like cheerleading approach, you know, we end up, like, you know, Ryan's like, yes, we can do this. And Ben's like, no, we can't. I'm like, we have to. So, you know, between all that, like we end up, you know, getting through the prototyping process and then somebody puts their head down for a really long time and develops it.
Right. Well, that's great. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for joining me. I loved it. It's been awesome learning about Envision and also your company. And Clark, your enthusiasm kind of is infectious. So
good. I hope I infect myself.
Yes.
That's pretty good. So,
I wish you guys good luck on your app. And I know I enjoy it. So that's why we wanted to talk to you.
Awesome. And we were humongous. I mean, all three of us, and by the way, and beyond, and the whole company, we're all big Unmatched Style fans.
Wow.
Definitely go there to not steal, but to be influenced by good design ideas.
That's the idea. Yeah.
And great editorial.